B-Pod Studios.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Now, boys, it's an honor for me to come in here and drop this book for you. I'm going to drop it, and yous are going to take it. Yous are going to take it and put it through the opposition net at 300 miles an hour. And if anyone's in the way of that net, you're going to put them through the net also. Let's go get it, boys.
Big debate earlier if Conor McGregor could beat up Zdeno Chara.
It's one of those dumb things that I actually find interesting.
Sure.
And I put that out there as a little poll question, and you guys are ridiculous. 61% say Zdeno Chara. Zdeno Chara, it would be fun. As a matter of fact, the Boston Globe even wrote a little bit of an article, and in it went into how Zdeno Chara, you know, grew up with his father being an Olympian as far as Greco-Roman wrestling. And so he would train in doing that and taking down guys and being able to do that.
Yeah, he got stretched out in the shed in back.
Yeah, especially at an Olympic level. You have to know what the hell you're doing.
Right.
You know, however, Conor McGregor is a trained fighter. And if you learn how to punch a certain way, that punch is a lot more powerful than a guy who punches, you know, who learns how to just fight as a hockey player. You know what I mean?
I think, Charles, if you did the Rocky IV pad, like what's-his-face, Dolph Lundgren hit?
Yeah, Drago.
I think that Charles' punch would be way, way harder.
But you're underestimating the speed that Conor McGregor would have.
I know, but I just don't know what he could. I don't know if he could take Chara down.
Oh, see, I think he'd go right to his feet. He'd go right to his feet, pull him down, get him on the ground, take him in the knees. Yeah, McGregor would win that fight. That's what McGregor's trained to do, and he plays at the most elite level. Whereas Zdeno Chara, it would be fun as hell. It would almost be like, what was that cartoon where the two little dogs, where he would just hold the other one's hand, his head, and he kept swinging and trying to punch him, and he couldn't even reach him?
Yeah.
That's what it would be. Just hold McGregor by the head, and then he wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
All right, so Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm. He was everywhere.
He was, He was talking to the guys after the game, and they looked exhausted.
He was threatening people on Twitter, which was kind of funny.
He was?
Yeah. So there was somebody who, hang on, let me see if I can find this. He tweeted out the video of him in the locker room yelling at them, saying, when I say Boston, you say strong, Boston. And the Bruins were like, strong, Boston, strong. And it's not because they didn't like him being there. They could tell that they were genuinely happy he was in the locker room. But, you know, they're getting ready for a game, and they're also grown men and professional athletes.
Right.
This isn't a high school rah-rah team that you're talking to.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, bringing in Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy.
So somebody tweeted to Conor McGregor saying that they look more amused than they do fired up. And Conor McGregor tweeted this guy back and said, check the results, kid. These men are like Batman. Death perception like I've never seen before in my life. To even see the puck is a challenge, let alone got it into a net no bigger than the hole I would leave in your cheekbone with one smack. Insane respect for these men.
Okay, well, that seemed like a pretty cutting insult to Conor McGregor, and well worth the man, worth that kind of money responding to. All right, do you have the Vox Pro up? If you can get that up for me, because my board is fried. All right, so what's always interesting is that Dale Arnold maybe didn't need the box because Conor McGregor is not a large man, but Dale Arnold, who is hates Wallach with the heat of 1,000 suns.
That's true, yeah.
He's over there with Rich Keefe, and that was a good idea to put those two together. Real think tank over there. And Dale Arnold had to talk to Conor McGregor.
Yes, I mean, you know it's going to be good TV when you've got one of the world's most respected, meanest, most
charismatic
guys, and he has to sit down and talk to Ned Flanders.
I only wish I had a wee dram of proper 12 whiskey to toast a...
All right, come on, dude.
Is it between periods now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is between periods.
Okay. No, it's just not before McGregor goes out there and does his thing. This is, he's already done it. So that's
Okay. He's doing an Irish accent because the guy's Irish. Oof. You thought that joke was bad?
Whiskey, right.
I mean, Arnold doesn't sound like an Irish name.
I don't think it is.
Why are you doing an Irish accent just because the guy's Irish?
I don't know.
Everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
This wasn't St. Patrick's Day.
I only wish I had a wee dram of proper 12 whiskey to toast a UFC world champion. Conor McGregor is with us. It's good to see you.
Yes, a double champion. The UFC double champion.
Let's talk a little bit about this game. This is your first hockey game ever.
It is my first hockey game.
When you were down there at the size of those guys you were looking at for the puck drop, what were you thinking?
They are big, formidable men. And I was just saying what I relayed to the Boston Bruins captain in the dressing room. I told him to take this puck, put it through the net, along with this other captain. So I'm here excited to see it. You know, it's a close game. The opposing team are a very good team, so I'm very excited to be here, and let's see how it plays out.
A busy weekend for you. You were in Chicago today for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. You're here for the St. Patrick's Day Parade tomorrow. Where do you have more Conor McGregor fans, Chicago or Boston?
I tell you what, I fought here in Boston. I've never fought in Chicago, but I tell you what, they treated me so good out there. It was great to be out there. What an amazing day.
It's so different from the world you come from because, as you say, it's ice, it's skates. It's so much different, I would assume, the leverage and things like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than sailing, what you do.
Fighting in hockey. It's like completely different, aren't they?
Well, yeah, it's different on ice, don't you think? Don't you think that might play a factor into how they do things? Oh, no, it's the same. The mat's pretty slippery. Don't you think it's different? Do you think that fighting someone underwater would be different than what you do? How about fighting someone on a tightrope?
Of course, yeah. You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was actually fought in a kimono, where you wear the suit. So grips are very important in that martial art. That's why I kind of relay it to that. Obviously, it's a little bit different. They're on ice. They've got the skates and things like that. I'd love to see it live. You know what I mean?
So, oh, you might.
Yeah, I hope so. That's why I went in. I was ready for war. I said to the team, the Boston Bruins team, which one of you is the enforcer? And they all kind of waited for a minute. And I said, yous are all the enforcers. So let's see how it goes.
I mean, he was on the ice. Did you see him flip out when Marchand scored that goal? Marchand's got to be bummed because he flipped out and he turned towards the crowd. And meanwhile, Marchand's doing the salute to him by doing the Conor McGregor thing with his arms.
I only wish I had a wee dram of proper 12 whiskey to toast a UFC world champion.
After every show with Rich Keefe.
All right. So, by the way, I like Rich.
We love Rich Keefe.
So you feeling pretty good?
About what?
He kind of made a fool of himself.
Maybe.
Does that make you feel good?
I feel good on a normal day anyway, Fred. I'm feeling pretty good myself. I felt good when I showed up today.
Yeah?
Yeah. Still feeling good. Halfway through the show, feeling all right.
More than halfway.
Yep.
He's feeling double good because he's calling a game, too.
That's right.
Ooh, what?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This week,
Brian.
No.
The big
NCAA
dance.
Tournament day?
No. Bryant did not make the tournament.
Oh, that's a shame.
I will be in Philadelphia on Wednesday night.
He's calling the Sixers game.
Yep.
That is a big game.
Can't wait. Going to be a lot of fun.
So who's in here? Sarge?
Oh, and when's Saget in? I just know I'm never here when Saget's here.
No, I don't know when Bob Saget's here.
I don't think that that Rich is going to be here when Saget's here.
Yeah, but Bob Saget has never been here when all of us are here.
No, that's true. But I don't know who's in. On Wednesday, to answer your question. Mm. Fred doesn't care because Fred's going to be sunning himself.
To be me, Ted Johnson, and Sarge?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Has Ted had to work with Sarge yet?
I'm sure.
I don't know, but I hope that they sit really close to each other so he annoys Ted. Because I'd actually like to see what happens.
That'd be good.
I don't know. Ted's pretty affable. He's got a high tolerance for that kind of thing.
He is, but I have a feeling that if something just hit him at just the right frequency, it might actually make him go. Rah.
Do you get so excited before the games you have to make duty?
No.
You don't have to, like, run to the bathroom?
No.
Have you ever thrown up before a game?
No, I have not.
Did you see Bill Walton late for coming back because he was using the potty?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Bill Walton was late for the overtime.
Did not see that.
You almost can't blame him with that size and that injury.
Yeah, he's got the bad feet. He doesn't move as quick.
All right. Well, there you go. John Wallach will be calling the game Thursday night.
Wednesday night.
But you can tape it and
listen to it on Thursday if you want.
Absolutely. Yes. All right, Joe Sullivan. Works for the Boston Globe. He's going to talk to us about the NCAA tournament.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Willie McGinnis, NFL Network, on the future of Rob Gronkowski. Willie thinks he's going to retire, and somewhere deep in the season, he decides, you know what? I'm ready to play again. If that's what it is for Rob Gronkowski, I don't like it. Are you in or are you out?
Out. Nothing in moderation. Right. Either do it or don't.
Now, he's a great player, but throw him in the mix week 11, and then he's got to get his football legs about him? I'd rather have him around, put him on a pitch count, put him in line, let him block, and then just pick your spots with him, and then unleash him in November and December.
Solak and Bertrand, weekdays at 10, 98.5. The Sports Hub.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We always have Joe Sullivan, who is now a correspondent for the Boston Globe around tournament time. Get at your brackets, everyone. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Sullivan.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Great to be back on with you guys.
I have a bone to pick with the commission, the NCAA. Explain this to me. Explain how Michigan State can win the tie for the outright Big Ten title, beat Michigan three times, including the Big Ten championship game, and get put in a bracket with Duke.
I think you make a good point. I'm going to agree with you. And what you know would have been a lot easier just to put Michigan in the East with Duke and Michigan State in the West with Gonzaga, especially since if you're seeding a thing from top to bottom, Duke's the overall number one seed, and Michigan State would probably be the top number two seed, so they should be with the last number four seed. Is that too crazy what I'm saying there? And so they should have been in with Gonzaga. I'm not sure why that happened. And you could even make an argument Michigan State should have gotten a one seed instead of Gonzaga or one of the maybe North Carolina. You could make that argument. I think the one seeds are good. I really don't think there's any problem with it, but you certainly could. It's debatable is what I'll say.
Okay, if you look at a team like Virginia, just doesn't seem to have it in the tournament. They just seem to kind of lose it. Is this?
I'm all for them getting bounced. By the way, they play the most boring style of basketball known to mankind.
Oh yeah, and I can't see.
That's just what everyone tunes in for to watch a game that ends 64-61.
Well, there was that Michigan State Syracuse thriller last year.
Oh my god!
What is Virginia? What's the correct term? Are they vulnerable this year?
Well, I think they'll advance out at least to the Sweet 16, and I think it's a good point made there about their playing style. It hurts them in the tournament because it happened last year against Baltimore County. They got behind, and they're not a team that can score a lot of points in a hurry. So if they get behind because of the pace they play, there's usually not enough time left, and they don't score points fast enough. If they get behind, now it's infrequent that they're behind because they play great defense and they do control the game. So are they vulnerable? I'm looking at this bracket. I don't think they're vulnerable until they come out to the Sweet 16 and there they could meet. The choices would be Wisconsin, Oregon, Kansas State. One of those three teams. Maybe that's the first challenge they'll get. You know, Oregon has played their best toward the end of the season. They were really more interesting in the beginning when Manute Bol's son was on the team, but then he got hurt, and it took them a while to adjust, but they won the Pac-12 tournament, and they're playing very well. I'm not picking them to go to the Final Four. I'm just saying they're a threat.
Yeah, you like them in that 12-5 over Wisconsin. I've heard people say that.
I don't. I'm just sort of giving you a general view there. I really like Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I think Wisconsin would come out against Virginia in that Sweet 16 game. That should be quite a – that will be – as it was John who said it, it's a good, that'll be your 55-54 game.
Yeah. It seems this year more than a lot that the NCAA selection committee is putting certain teams against each other simply because they'd be good matchups. I mean, you have Bobby Hurley in a play-in game against Chris Mullin. Their coaching styles couldn't be more different. And St. John's doesn't really deserve to be in the field to begin with. But am I wrong? If Hurley wins, he faces his old team in Buffalo. It just seems too much of a coincidence there.
Yeah, they always deny that. But it seems they get these they try to set up these matchups that might be interesting just because of the stories involved. And there's another one in the East. You know, Duke. If Duke wins and Central Florida wins, Central Florida is coached by Johnny Dawkins.
He used
to play for Coach K, for Mike Krzyzewski, and was his assistant. So sometimes you wonder if they do this, but they've always denied it. They've always denied it.
And there are a couple others, too. I mean, I guess Minnesota plays Louisville, so that's Richard Pitino, Rick Pitino's son, facing the school that fired his dad. I mean,
yes,
exactly. That's, again, too big of a coincidence.
That's amusing. And the other one people bring up is LSU and Yale, like the two scandal-ridden schools. Like
right.
Yale has the cheating women's soccer coach and LSU has the cheating basketball coach. So it's like a cheating matchup in the first round there.
All right. I think you're pretty set with LSU in any activity that they're cheating in some way or another.
So is it okay to like Duke? I find myself actually enjoying this team, even though everything inside of me should hate anything that Duke does. When you watch them play basketball, I mean, obviously, is this a team that, like, what out of the teams that you see, what team has the best chance to beat these guys?
So I think that I think Duke is Michigan State is the team, your team, Fred, that has the best chance to beat them in the East Regional Final. And I do think Duke is amazing in terms of the talent they have. Zion Williamson is unlike any kind of basketball player we've ever seen. He's so interesting, even Dan Shaughnessy watched the game.
Oh.
He never watches college basketball.
Goodness.
Yeah, Shaughnessy was texting me, what time is Duke on today? He wants to know. I guess he can't look it up himself.
Right, he's unable to use the computer.
He has to have me tell him. And the problem is they are all freshmen, and sometimes it can lead to inconsistencies. And the other thing is they are not good shooters from the outside, is what we're talking about. They're terrible three-point shooters. They could get into a game where they're limited in how close they get to the basket, and they don't shoot well from the outside, and they could lose that game. So I would say they're more vulnerable than even Virginia, because Virginia's at least consistent. Duke will have their problems shooting the ball. Now, sometimes they just overwhelm everyone with their talent. They give the ball to Zion, and he just dunks, and they're going to win.
Do you think Zion's
If you
gonna...
haven't seen him play, you got to see him.
Do you think Zion's game is going to translate to make him a star in the NBA?
Yes, I do. I mean, he's just so gigantic overall and strong. I think it absolutely will. The player he reminds me of the most is Larry Johnson, who, you know, used to play for the Knicks, and who was not overly tall, but just was a brute near the basket. And he's similar to that. And he might even be more agile than Larry Johnson. So, yeah, he will translate. He'll be the overall number one pick. It'd be crazy whoever gets the overall number one pick in the NBA draft that they don't take him, just because there's such a cult of personality that's built around him, too. It's going to be it'll make whoever gets him, their team becomes automatically much more interesting.
Yeah, you're wrong about his talent.
Fred thinks he will not make a good
Fred
pro.
Thinks it's going to be a huge bust.
Fred also thought that he thought Jason Tatum would make
a
good
pro. And
I
also said to take Draymond Green in the first round. But I will tell you this, is that I don't think he's going to be a bad pro. I just don't think he's going to be like an elite pro. That's all.
All right,
I see.
Well,
okay.
Fred, you got to watch him during the tournament, and then you'll change your mind. Because I know you haven't been watching him.
I've been watching him. He can't shoot.
He's not a great shooter. You're absolutely right. But he's going to score near the basket.
All right. Go ahead, Rich.
I know you sound a little down on this, but we'll see. Hey, you know, cause these
Did you guys have a bet on where I would land on this?
No.
Just
I was. That would have been fun.
Fred's looking for allies, is what this is.
Yes, I'm just looking for.
No one agrees with me. Like, literally, no one.
And once again, he didn't find any. He was looking for allies, and once again, he didn't find any.
No, I absolutely not one person agrees with me.
Oh, man. All right, so which of these local teams is going to get their doors blown off? You got Northeastern, Vermont, and who's the other one we got? Oh, Yale. So out of those guys, like, which one's going to make it past the first two games, possibly?
Well, I think Yale could. I think they're tremendous. They're not what you think an Ivy League team would be. We always think they're like, you know, white guys with glasses who shoot really well. They're actually athletes, and they play fast, and they're one of the best shooting teams in the country. I think Yale, I think they're going to beat LSU, and then they come out against, well, probably Maryland. But, you know, I think they're going to win a game at least, Yale. I really like them.
I think that
game with Harvard yesterday was a terrific game to watch.
I just want you to know that you picked John Wallach's point, but he made that point this morning.
And I agreed with him. All right, so
so Fred does get a point.
Fred, bonus point for Fred.
All right, finally, Joe, who do you like in the Final Four?
So I think I'm going to pick, Fred, this is a kiss up to you, Michigan State, Virginia, Houston, and Gonzaga. And I think Gonzaga will win it all.
Well, who beats Duke?
Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan State. Michigan State. That's right. I'm back. I got it backwards. Yes.
All right. Well, Joe Sullivan, always love having you on during this time of year, and maybe we can talk to you before everything is said and done. Thank you for the time.
I'm around. I have a lot of time on my hands these days.
Right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Fine.
All right.
So he's got Houston coming out of the Midwest.
That's
it.
I saw that a couple of places last night. A lot of people seem to think Houston, despite the fact that I think they were like 31-3, they're a top 10 team, but they don't play in a good conference. That's the other thing. And, you know, Buffalo is a 6 seed and Wofford is a 7, but neither of those two teams play much of anybody for the most part.
Well, Tennessee beat Gonzaga, and I know that they got killed yesterday, but they're a veteran team.
Tennessee was number one in the country for a while there.
Yeah, and they're one of those teams that I like in the tournament that's, like, played together. They're not, you know, I don't think they have anyone who's going to do anything in the NBA, but they played together. That's why this Michigan State team is better than the one last year who had 2 lottery picks on it because they played together. Now they're all banged up, but we'll see. All right. Well, there you go.
Are you putting any money on it this year?
I'll just do brackets, yeah. I'll do brackets.
Who's doing brackets? Anyone doing brackets around here?
I have not seen anything yet.
Dan is shaking his head.
Okay.
Well, that's not nice.
You didn't get the email? I'm not organizing it, but you didn't get the email?
I don't check my email.
Oh. Okay.
Ever.
There you go.
What is it, $500 buy-in?
I'm there with you, by the way.
You know what? I'll check the buy-in.
Okay.
It's probably $10 a bracket.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, well, very good. I'm making 500 of them. We will be back in just a matter of moments. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's best to get out, but in certain situations, you have no option. You must, for me...
Oops. Buttons being pressed randomly. That was strange.
Well, I'm still on the Intelligent Network, which is making me feel very good.
It's like we have ghost buttons being pressed and boards being set on settings that we don't even know existed.
Someone played with this. I don't care. But if you don't know how the board works in front of me, whether I need it or not, you can have hearty debate that. But I can't use the right side of it, and it says the Intelligent Network on all the screens. It still says connecting it. All right, so we're going to talk to Charlotte Wilder, who got to spend some time with Jeff Fisher. We talked to her at the Super Bowl. not, you know, talking football, just seeing what the fish is up to.
She did a follow-up, and there's a video, too.
Yeah, but you can't, I can't see the video. Like, you need some kind of access.
Oh, like a subscription or something? Okay, yeah. I've not gotten to watch it yet. But, I mean, she's the one who wrote the story where, you know, he picks her up on the four-wheeler and goes, come on, Char, hop on the back.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
He's like, hang on tight.
All right, fish. And so they rode around his farm on a four-wheeler, but she wrote
Let's
a story.
Take some sweet jumps.
She wrote a story that, she wrote it like about 2 years ago. But it's resurfacing and seeing the light of the day because of what James Dolan has been doing as of late. Now, James Dolan, of course, the owner of the Knicks, and a guy who, why he doesn't sell the team, because he's obviously miserable as the owner. He's Mr. Blues guy. He's got his kick-ass blues band, and you saw the video of him being yelled at by, not even yelled at, but somebody just telling him to sell the team at Madison Square Garden. And reportedly, he took away this guy's tickets, and he's no longer allowed at Madison Square Garden just for critiquing.
And then said he was being stalked by him.
Okay. All right.
Like, the guy was stalking him around Madison Square Garden.
Because that's how you act when someone's stalking you. You stop to talk to them.
Right.
Yeah. On top of that, this is something he has done at different concerts that his band has played. As a matter of fact, reason we're having Char on at 9 o'clock is because she actually attended one of James Dolan's blues band concerts the night of the NBA draft, just to see what kind of crowd goes out to see James Dolan play. And at that show, James Dolan got in a fight with people in the crowd.
Yeah.
So now it's almost like this clip that we played the other day where James Dolan is playing this festival because they earned it. It's not
like
because
the G.G. Allen of douches.
Right. Without actually throwing a punch.
Yeah, and without defecating into a fan and shooting it into the audience.
Which, if you've seen that documentary, he does things similar to that.
Yes, he does.
So here's James Dolan playing in front of, like, what, 20, 25 people, and a guy is holding a sign up that says, quit your day job, sell the Knicks, and this was Dolan's reaction.
Having a relationship was not appropriate. Oh, no. You. Come on up. Why are you here? You're a fan of music and you hold up that sign? Don't you think that that's a little negative? You don't, anybody else here think it's a little negative? I'm gonna invite you to leave. What do you say? So everybody else can have a good time. Okay, can you do that now? Thank you, goodbye.
You know what? I hope he never stops doing that, because when he's up on that stage as a musician, you're not James Dolan, billionaire Knicks owner. You're just another jackass trying to win over a crowd.
Yep.
So you have to learn a little bit of that humility and what it means to stand in front of somebody and win them over.
Right.
Because you can't get by on your laurels when you're standing in front of a crowd that is that wants to be entertained, because you're wasting their time if you do that. Now, this has not stopped. You would think after all of this news that's come out about him being a jackass, trying to get people kicked out, and any kind of criticism of him, this has not stopped him, because yet another story comes out this weekend involving the New York Knicks and James Dolan. There was a gentleman by the name of Mike Riboliata who was going to a Knicks game, the one where LeBron James very famously got absolutely rejected at the last second to lose it. Boy, yes. The Lakers just suck. And LeBron's just saying, I don't even care anymore, not even trying. However, this guy tweeted out a photo of his T-shirt that he was wearing in, and it was, I guess, on Saturday, and it said, St. Patty says, ban Dolan. And it just had some shamrocks on it. Fairly harmless, right?
I would say very harmless.
And he tweeted, just had this shirt confiscated walking into the garden. That's right. And then he put, they took two of us, and a third put it in his pocket. So they took two of the guy's shirts, the other one took it off, and threw it in his pocket. He said the garden security tracked and followed him through scanning and made him open his jacket and prove that he threw the shirt away. Then they made another guard pick it out of the garbage to prove that he actually did it. So they have put an edict out there that you are not allowed to wear any kind of shirt that says anything negative about James Dolan or ownership. And if so, they will confiscate it at the door and not let you in.
You know what would be easier is selling the team for the $4 billion.
Dude, I keep saying that. He obviously hates being an owner.
Yes.
And it's more valuable than any other NBA franchise. sell it, make your $4 billion, and go noodle around with your other rich boy son blues hounds that are out there.
Because
you and Jim Irsay start a band.
Yeah. Hey, Quentin. But you know that if you don't want to get ridiculed or have people come after you, sports is a pretty good place to be.
Passionate sports fans.
Passionate sports fans are, they're always in favor, especially in New York.
And he's in just the right market. Right. Yeah. You know what? There's such an easy way out of this. Like, if you're James Dolan and you truly like owning the Knicks, let's say you really like owning the Knicks, but you hate the reaction. You know what you got to say? All you got to say when somebody says that is like, you're absolutely right. The product on the floor has not been what we wanted, and we're going to work hard to make it better.
Or maybe do the Steve
Vai. That is literally it.
And just talk with your guitar. Like when someone says, sell the team, you go, wow,
David,
That's true. Just carry the guitar along with you. And whenever anyone insults you, just play a mean lick.
Right, yeah, just like Steve Vai at the beginning of Yankee Rose.
That's right.
What?
I told you when I met that kid that I ended up being in a band with.
Or the one who rocked the dome?
No, that kid was insane.
Oh, okay.
You should read what he puts on Facebook.
You're friends with him on Facebook?
I had to be. I ditched it, though, because he wasn't into vaccines and all kinds of stuff.
I understand, yes.
It's getting a little bit crazy. But I went into this kid's basement, and this guy's still a musician. And they're like, hey, Fred, this is Lee. And I'm like, hey, Lee. And he had his head down, and he went, cha-cha-cha. And I went, hey, so you're pretty good at guitar. And he's like, and he like wouldn't look at me.
Let that lick answer your question.
Man. All right. So have you had something confiscated?
Okay, because I was thinking about this. There was now with the Red Sox, and I forget what it was, but there were people who were confiscating stuff for the Red Sox for a while. And I have to think it was during the Bobby Valentine era, the year that he was the manager. I know that it happened at Gillette because of the letter of disinvite. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Now, what was it they were confiscating at Gillette? Because it couldn't have been anti-Patriots. Was it anti-Goodell stuff? Because the clown nose thing was there all over the place. Why were people getting the letter of disinvite when they showed up?
Was it Gillette a scroll? Stadium? Was it a scroll?
Hear ye. Patty Von Sullivan has been forever hereby ejected from thy Gillette Stadium. And we decree this letter of disinvite. The man with the pointy shoes comes out there,
blows his horn, and that's it.
Yes, he has been deemed unacceptable.
That was not because somebody brought something in. That was because somebody threw beer at Tyreek Hill. Okay, now I hear that.
Okay.
Now, the only time I've ever remembered something being confiscated from the TD Garden, and I could be wrong, like in recent memory, was, do you remember when people were bringing giant posters of Honey Nut Cheerios after Kevin Garnett made that crack about Carmelo Anthony's wife apparently tasting like Cheerios?
Yes.
Wasn't that the crack?
Yes.
Like Honey Nut Cheerios?
That was it, yes.
So people were actually...
That's where Carmelo waited at the bus with about a million security people. No way in hell he could even get close to KG, for him.
They got on the bus with the police take them to the bus.
Yeah. No,
it was the most ridiculous thing I've
Carmelo's
ever seen.
Carmelo's like, I'm going to do something, but I have these 18 security guys in between me and Kevin Garnett.
It was the meanest stare down you've ever seen.
I don't even know if Garnett could see him.
No.
He was on the bus. All right, so 617.
Hold me back. Backfest 2008 or whatever it was.
Have you had something confiscated? 617-779-09.
And got a letter of disinvite.
Yeah, have they ever taken away your tickets? Has anything like that ever happened? We'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rick.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. Real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
James Dolan's band?
Policeman!
Although I'm sure he wouldn't, he would probably have no problem covering this.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. James Dolan has been going around taking things away. He's the owner of the Knicks, kicking people out.
Confiscating T-shirts that are critical of him.
All right, 617-779-0985. AJ, what did you get taken away?
It wasn't me, but I was at a game back in the late 90s, Celtics game, and it was just right after Jason Kidd had allegedly punched his wife for feeding his kid a French fry, and they were doing warm-ups. I think he was with the Nets at the time. They were doing warm-ups, and there's a guy with a giant sign that just said, "Kid beats his wife," right behind the backboard.
Oh, jeez.
And they made him take it down.
The Celtics security seized it. I mean, it stayed up for a good minute and a half, but security seized it. I'm like, I mean, that's a fact. I don't know how you can take that down.
Now, has that been proven?
I'm pretty sure that got proven.
Yeah, that was a narrative. I think New Jersey, back when Kidd was playing, New Jersey was playing the Celtics in the playoffs, and that was the thing. I mean, the police had charged him with that.
Well, you know Chris Narodko, who used to do our show, is a famous guy who was at the Garden with a sign that said, "Please stab Pierce." He's a big New Jersey guy.
Do you remember when A-Rod got busted from that tabloid having an affair with that woman, that blonde woman? And they were like, the next time the Yankees came to Fenway, there was a sea of those like plastic masks with the blonde hair. That was unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And there's like a famous photo of him up to bat, and behind him, it's a sea of those plastic masks.
Was it Faye Dunaway?
He was in the on-deck circle. That's what it was. No. What's that?
Was it Faye Dunaway based on his...
No, that was Peter... Oh, yeah, I know you're saying... No, but you know Peter Wolf was like engaged to Faye Dunaway. I think he might have been married to Faye Dunaway. That's the most random fact I learned like last week.
No, but A-Rod had a penchant for women right. A little bit past their prime.
Sure.
Faye Dunaway, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
You know, it's on it's top. Okay. I'm always thinking about Faye. I'm always thinking about Mommy Dearest.
I understand.
That scared me very much when I was a child.
It scared every kid.
Yeah. No, I don't hang it. Jeffy, go ahead.
Yeah, so me and my brother worked at Gillette Stadium for one game, and we completely blew it. So after the game was over, we were selling, like, pretzels at this little pretzel stand thing. After the game was over, we see a bunch of people down just throwing footballs around on the footballs, you know, on the field. The game was well over. Everyone had left, and they looked like regular people. So we're like, all right, let's go down there and do that too, as if that would be okay. So we stroll down, and we just hop over the barrier and go onto the field, and these two security hardos just run over and, like, grab us vigorously and pull us off the field. So they sit us in the side room, and they, you know, basically we didn't get arrested, but they, you know, we had to go to court the next day for it. But before we left, they gave us our letter of disinvite, and they also confiscated our pretzel shirts as if we couldn't get more pretzel shirts.
You'll never get in here again without your pretzel shirt.
What does the letter of disinvite say on it?
I don't remember, but if I had known it would be such an amazing thing, I would have framed the damn thing. But, I mean, I was permanently banned from the stadium, me and my brother, and since then we've gone to like 15 games.
That's really hard to enforce, yeah, man.
There's no way that can be enforced.
I don't have, like, wanted pictures of us hanging up at Gillette Stadium.
I was just going to say, I don't think anyone's looking too hard.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, is there,
there's
like,
a facial recognition software at work there?
Honestly, how do you enforce that? If they give you, like, a letter of disinvite.
They could make it even harder to get in and do a background check, ask for your ID and do a background check.
Well, then I don't think half the crowd's getting in.
No. Bird, what have you taken away? I know you're busy typing with one hand. What have you taken away over there at Fenway?
Beach balls.
Okay, yeah, I mean, someone always brings in a beach ball.
Yeah, right. That's as far as I can go with that.
So all the years of you doing security, the worst thing you've had to take away is a beach ball?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's more worse things that I can't say.
He can't say.
Oh, he can't say.
There's a lot more
that's
that
a PG version
away.
Of it.
Beach balls.
All right. Fred, go ahead.
Hey, right after that incident with Jason Kidd during that playoff run, me and a couple of buddies were four guys in a row underneath the hoop with wife beaters that spelled out Kidd, so they couldn't really make us, like, take it off or change it. And that game, Johanna actually, like, ran out of the stadium, and the whole stadium was just pointing and yelling, like, right people. She said she'd never go back to Boston again.
Now, listen, you scared off the woman.
I found that photo. I mean, so you don't remember that when everyone showed up with those blonde woman masks?
Did they just have them laying around?
No, somebody passed them out.
What year is this?
Who was that? Was that our station? Was that BCN that did that?
Maybe it was.
I forget who passed those out. But, I mean, the pictures are just phenomenal from that game. Every time he got up to bat, there was a coordinated effort that these masks were handed out. And it just, like, on TV, it looked like a sea of them whenever you would see him, like, warming up on the on-deck circle.
That'll show him for getting laid.
Yeah, well, he was cheating on his wife.
Uh-oh.
Is it Stray Rod?
A professional athlete?
Yeah.
Cheating on his wife with... I think once you've made $100 million, the chance of the marriage lasting is gone. is a little bit... you're on thin ice with that relationship. Once you're world famous and worth $100 million, I have a feeling that that old monogamy might become a bit of an issue.
Was that BCN? Because that was a coordinated effort. I don't remember who that was.
That wasn't when I was working here.
No. It was before that. Because that might have been 2007 or 8 that happened. Mm. If anyone remembers, I thought
who
that was...
Who was he married to? Was he married to that? No, that was Derek Jeter, the girl from Friday Night Lights.
Which I don't even think he married her, did
he? No. Is he married?
Jeter, yes.
He is now, I think.
Yeah.
You time to settle down?
Yes.
Real Jeets?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The old gift baskets. He'd given enough of them away.
Well, you gotta, you say, like, hey, you accept this basket. You're knowing that everything was real consensual-like.
Mm. 2007. That's when it was.
It might have been us.
It might have been. That might have been a BCN thing.
Be Real says, I don't think it was BCN because that would have cost money. All right. So we're about to be joined by Charlotte Wilder. Not only has she gotten to spend personal time at the Jeff Fisher estate, she's also been a audience member at one of the Dolan Blues Fests. So we'll hear all about that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.